One guest, 10 songs, 10 reasons. Music was my first love on Radio Glamorgan.
My guest on this edition of Music Was My First Love is one of the newest volunteers to Hospital Radio Glamorgan, who in late 2024 launched his own show on the station, Tea Time Tales, every Tuesday 5 till 7 p.m. With his cool, calm and laid-back delivery, it's an extremely pleasant couple of hours to end your working day and start your relaxing evening with. His name is Joe Lovell, and we'll hear from Joe after his first choice, which features the vocals of Elvis Presley alongside the Royal Philharmonic Orchestra and Can't Help Falling In Love.
But I can't help falling in love with you.
Joe Lovell, a warm welcome to Music Was My First Love.
Hello there, yeah.
How are you?
Yeah, not bad at all, thank you.
Good. I'm really looking forward to getting to know you a bit better over the next hour or so, but first up, tell me about your opening choice from Elvis and the RPO.
Yeah, absolutely. Talking about Music Was My First Love, Elvis really was that above all else, above all others, really. Whether that was just a byproduct of it being one of the cassettes on rotation in our old Volvo in the late 90s, it would have been. It was with his voice that I just fell in love quite instantly and emphatically. Yeah.
Any reason for that version rather than Elvis's original?
I've tried to be a little bit clever tonight and try and bring together artists or types of music that I couldn't quite shoehorn into the 10. And I'm a big fan of instrumental music, orchestral pieces as well on occasion. And that was one of the rare times when I think something's been brought into the new age quite beautifully as well. One of the harmonies towards the end, the closing notes. I think it's a lovely version. And because it ties into as well cheekily my complete and utter addiction to football, and that's a song that sometimes you hear on the terraces more often than not in more, shall call it, for want of a better phrase, tin pot stadiums, and I just find it so beautiful. Other people might think that's just terribly unbearably.
I think you and I probably need to avoid a football discussion.
Yes, we shall.
Tell me, sorry, have you always been a music lover?
That comes from my dad mostly, I would say, but finding good friends quite quickly that enjoyed it as well.
So tell me about growing up. Do you have siblings?
Just one sister.
Older or younger?
Younger by a couple of years.
Yeah. So was she nicking your music?
We did enjoy sharing stuff quite a bit. There was a little bit of a period where probably at the time I was a bit too forceful with it, but tried to steer her away from some of what was going on in the charts. Wasn't very tolerant of it, but realized actually quite quickly she was able to source far better things than I could.
And was there music growing up at home being played by your parents?
Yes, and actually Elvis, probably too common a thing, but often on Sunday mornings, Elvis's sort of gospel albums, Mum absolutely love those, and that was quite a gentle way of getting me out of bed. A bit of a compromise. She knew that if she played that, I wouldn't, be quite so annoyed to be woken up.
So when you say particularly on a Sunday, is gospel music, was it religious upbringing?
Yes, so church afterwards on a Sunday. But
Elvis
that would
first,
be
then church.
Elvis,
brilliant. He'd like that.
In that order, I know that there have been maybe films made and questions asked of certain choices in his life, but obviously you can't deny a lot of the fusing together of religion and his music.
Not.
So,
no. You came to Cardiff as a student. What did you study?
Studied English.
And what made you stay?
My wife. So she's working as an occupational therapist now. And so with the bursary and serving 2 years in Wales after you spend time in university here, that was a given. My parents had moved away to work actually overseas, and Cardiff quite quickly, it was obvious, would be a home anyway. Lots of friends stayed. We love it as a city, walkable, green, lots of things going on. And that's in a nutshell.
Interesting mixed bag for your 10 choices, Joe. So tell me about choice number 2 from The War on Drugs.
The War on Drugs probably are my favourite band of the modern day. They were a band that we played a lot during the dark corners of lockdown. Probably heard them along with many others when it was a deeper understanding in Lost in a Dream. But this is a track from the album Future Weather. probably be able to hear, as many do, the influences of Bruce Springsteen and Nick Cave and others to that record. But they are, without doubt, the best thing I've seen live, the mix. They're just not afraid to elongate songs. And as a drummer, nowhere near as good as any of these guys that were here tonight. But Charlie Hall, it's like a metronome. And I really, really, really love his style of drumming, because he's not flash. He's not trying to do a solo, anything of that nature. He just is happy to be the water carrier for the others and let them do their thing over the top of it. I just think this is a beautiful piece of music, very optimistic.
And it's so, called?
It's called Coming Through.
Going back to the root of my beliefs, saying all that's wrong.
Can you remember the first voice or voices, the first DJs that you heard on the radio?
Oh, that's a very, very good question. I can think of probably commentators more than I can do radio, so probably it would have been sports commentary,
yeah.
I imagine. Yeah. There were quite a lot of things burnt to, well, they've been VHS we'd have popped in, and they would have been sometimes old recordings of shows where, we'll probably mention soon, more crooners as well. That would be at my grandmother's, that I'd have heard. I wouldn't know what the names were, but just hearing the voice and not seeing somebody, that was something I knew that I quite liked.
So did the itch to want to do that come early for you?
It was the fear that I probably thought the guys and girls had speaking the seconds before they had to. That adrenaline rush was something that excited me, the idea of that, whether that was standing up in class and doing a presentation. I was the weirdo out of the 30 that quite enjoyed getting kicks from that.
Sorry, I'm laughing because we'll talk about it more in detail later, but anyone who's heard your show on Tuesday, you certainly don't have an adrenaline rush. laid back, it's
yeah,
fat.
Yeah, I... Which is an odd thing as well, because a lot of people do come away, maybe having met me, especially in work colleagues, and they would call me Zen. But I think I am that analogy of the duck where my legs beneath the surface are going,
right,
like Usain Bolt's. And a lot of the time, if you bring somebody else into the room, it would be far more upbeat and energetic. But there's something about that, the laid back, I can't seem to get out of. Yeah. Once a more chilled out track comes, I really would have to pick myself out of that lying flat position.
And these days then, other than Hospital Radio Glamorgan, are there any particular radio stations that you listen to now?
Oh, that's a very good question. There's plenty of different types of shows on. Well, I've become acutely aware of jokes about Radio 6 Dads, and on the cusp of fatherhood, I realise I can't probably laugh at that anymore. There's a couple of more jazzy stations for you'd probably hear on a Sunday afternoon, evening, and it might sound a little bit, maybe I shouldn't go down that avenue, but there are online a community, maybe born out of YouTube as well, where people have edited together things that they quite like and then have spoken over the top of it, maybe Sunday League football equivalent of radio, where they've given themselves an opportunity for that. One of the artists, King Cruel, that hopefully play later, did something to that extent, and that excited me as well, that idea. Yeah.
For your third choice, Joe, two greats from two different eras, both sadly no longer with us, Tony Bennett and Amy Winehouse. Tell me about Body and Soul.
I really, really love this duet. It's an opportunity to bring in crooners, which again is something that we like in the Lovell household, particularly around Christmas, to the point that we're quite sick of hearing it. My dad's obsessed with it. He's very much an 80s music guy, but crooners was something he really introduced to us. And Amy Winehouse as well. I really like the way that we were all introduced to her. It was in that cusp of being able to put your iPod classics onto speakers if you went away, or connect via Bluetooth on the holiday. But really, if you did go somewhere, caravan park or small accommodation, in my mum's from the Lake District, so we'd sometimes go there to see family, you'd get what you were given in the holiday home, maybe four DVDs, and you'd get three CDs, and of the three we had on one occasion, two of those were Amy Winehouse's, and you just listened to that on repeat. You didn't get the riches that you can have on Spotify or Apple Music, whatever now. And to be able to combine these two together, I really liked, because I don't think that many people would attempt or do crooning very well now. People do Frank Sinatra covers, but often poorly and on Britain's Got Talent. But he, Tony Bennett, being one of the later ones to pass, did enter into modern music and enjoy collaborating with artists like Lady Gaga and Willie Nelson and Amy Winehouse, and they just work beautifully, these two voices together, I think.
Body and soul.
Well, I was about to say that if my father were in the room, he'd say they don't make him like I used to, but of all the people that recorded music like that, my dad didn't like Tony Bennett.
Oh, well,
for some reason. I don't know why. But we were just saying off air, even if you put aside that backstory, Back to Black is such a superb record.
Superb, yeah.
That was Joe Lovell's third choice on this edition of Music Was My First Love, A Body and Soul from Bennett and Winehouse. Your first experience of broadcasting was youth radio in Worcestershire. Tell me about that experience and how you got involved.
A friend of mine, one of my closest friends, had just seen something put up in the window, a four piece of paper, to say they were looking for new recruits. He did it along with another guy in our class. Hilarious names, just mixing together their surnames, nice and simple like that. It was a car crash of a show from beginning to end. They didn't have much in common. The other guy didn't really like music at all. One of their best segments on it was Supermarket Sweep, where one of them would run and buy something for the supermarket in time before the end of the song, which, when you think about it, has absolutely no benefit to the listeners at all. There's no way of verifying it, and then he'd be too out of breath to introduce the next song. So quite quickly, I got involved and asked if we could have our own show, The Jam, Joe and Sam, and really, really good fun. There wasn't much in the way of a governing body checking in on us. It was a bit of a car crash, that show as well, but really realised how much we both loved speaking to one another, having a laugh, problematically editing interviews with big celebs to make it sound like they were chatting to us about selling things under the counter and drinking Buckfast and things like that, at which point somebody did come in and we had to stop doing that. It all became a bit more professional, but we were off to uni then, but we'd already got the bug, really.
How old were you?
15 we started, which, if you let two 15-year-olds, you can only imagine what happens. And we were two of the most responsible ones at the time.
Was it a good learning experience for you?
Really, really good. Even in just learning what not to press, how to leave the condition of a studio afterwards, not leave the fader down or up at the wrong times, not ripping certain music off different first parts of the internet. It really was the Wild West at that point. Mm. But realizing what song went nicely into another one, how to speak fondly of and appreciate artists late and great as well, and then actually putting a bit of work into writing about what might be new or of interest to our friends. And when texts started to come in, I hadn't felt anything like that before, even if the first one said, "I can't stand it when you two speak this rubbish. Just play, I don't know, Carly Rae Jepsen or whatever it was." Yeah. So
so let's carry on playing then. Choice number four, Joe. Who are Chiasmos?
Chiasmos are a duo, an experimental sort of techno dance duo. Olafur Arnalds, who does a lot of beautiful electronic instrumental music in his own right, and Janus Rasmussen, together they look a little bit like Per Mertesacker and Jamie Cullum, have started to do dance music. It's like an Icelandic duo. And this was just about being in the right place at the right time. My friends at our first ever festival, Latitude. There's too much now, probably, and I'm really a sucker for this. Planning to the minute. I get a little bit over the top with it. There's something so special about saying, let's just go and see what this band is. I like the sound of it. And when this started and the beat dropped, I suppose you could say, it was, and the sun was shining, it was one of those lovely experiences of my youth, and the music was brilliant. And the album's been great for revision and for running and for prepping for interviews and lots of other things.
Yeah. So Chiasmos, and the track is called?
It's called Lit.
Your fifth choice, Joe, brings together the highly underrated Erykah Badu along with The Roots. Tell me about the track you've chosen.
I did want to have one track that was hip-hop, and I opted for this one, The Roots and Erykah Badu. I love that it's a collaboration. I think the percussion in it especially is lovely. Again, as a drummer, not nearly as good as any of these guys. I love how steady it is throughout the majority of the track. Supposedly, it's a little bit about confrontation or mistrust in a relationship, and I love that it spirals a little bit, the drums, towards the end, whether that's intentional or not, or he's just decided he's got a little bit bored and wants to run with it. I think it's lovely, and if it is meant to complement where the relationship's going, then there's a lot to read into that as well. I was very cautious growing up, in terms of I hadn't listened to any sort of hip hop. There was very accessible, easygoing R&B that a lot of people would download for their ringtones. And I didn't really go too close to any of that. Wasn't until a good friend of mine in high school introduced me to probably graduation era Kanye West and Lupe Fiasco that I started to look into a little bit more for myself. I was probably a bit self-conscious of being from Worcester, relatively simple upbringing, where Goose on the Green was sometimes one of the worst headlines you could read in the newspaper, and maybe I felt a bit of an imposter sympathizing with what people were chatting about in their lyrics, until I really heard how brilliant they were as lyricists, writing five times more than often others were having to do in guitar bands, and listened to a track by Gangsta called Full Clip with the great Guru in it, and if it didn't have so much language in it, I'd pick it for this track, and I was just bowled over by how brilliant the words and the lyrics in it were. And I suppose the cheesy way of linking it together, tedious link, is as an English student, I really did love it. I was fascinated by how cleverly they'd rhymed things together, mixed it in, half rhymes and all of that. It's a form of poetry, isn't it? And started to listen to a few more bits and pieces. I'm still not too well versed in the great hip-hop artists, but I have particular albums and tracks I love, and The Roots with an album Undone and Things Fall Apart is one I love, and of course, as you say, the underrated and great Erykah Badu.
Music was my first love on Radio Glamorgan.
See, I'm beefed in town.
I'm not really sure why Rock Bottom was never released officially on one of King Krul's albums, but that's from a collection of live performances he did and then released later. I absolutely love the energy of that particular track. I like a lot of King Krul and what he does, not all of it by any means. I like the name taken from the Elvis film King Creola, which I only heard about recently.
That's what it's from.
Yeah. I think if you say it quite quickly, it sounds something like that. Heard the first album, 6 Feet Beneath the Moon, just coming out of sixth form. And I know a lot of people were sceptical as to whether his baritone, sort of Billy Bragg-esque voice, really was that deep. But there was a boy in our year at the time who had come to school one day sounding like taking helium, and then the next day sounding a bit like Louis Armstrong. So we did know it really could happen. It was otherworldly, this guy's voice at school. So it felt like we had a music representation for him. I do just love the element of Beauty and the Beast in a lot of King Krul's music. Both sides quite uncompromising, bit of a fist fight, like you can hear there. There's a real gentle hip-hop element to it sometimes, and then this crazy jazz new wave, especially with the saxophone, which is far harder hitting live than it is on some of the live recordings. I picked that track because it's particularly upbeat and fun, and some of the other tracks I haven't got that sort of energy in these 10. But there's a track on 10 Feet Beneath the Moon called Baby Blue, which is actually the track my wife walked down the aisle to, which, if you've just heard that song, you're thinking, what what sort of wedding / bar mitzvah event are you throwing there? Is everybody throwing everyone up in the air on chairs or something like that? No, it was very by the book, in a church locally here, and it was a friend of mine that did a piano, played the piano and did a far more stripped back version of Baby Blue, which if you listen to is a far more sedate, chilled out track, and a piano version was even more beautiful. So the artist means a lot to my wife and I. Again, not all of him, but at his best, it's some of my favourite music going.
We're your healthy choice. We are Hospital Radio Glamorgan.
We mentioned earlier, Joe, that you studied in Cardiff. How did you become involved with student radio, Express Radio?
That was something that I saw in the Freshers' Fair, monks getting free bits of pizza and 1,000 pence that I would lose inevitably over the next 3 years. Saw the guys at Express, which is a great station and was always run really, really well and with wholeheartedness and commitment by whoever was president of it at the time. Lived with quite a few people in my house in third year, and one of them actually became the president of the society. And so through that, really, as well, it increased maybe the amount of hours and what I was putting into it. The first show was great. It was called "But Your Kids Are Gonna Love It," and that was my favorite tracks used in films, scores and soundtracks. Quote from Back to the Future, which is one of my favorite tracks. Albeit a tad Freudian. And my second show was one called Get Topical, where I learned a lot from a guy that's now working abroad on I'm a Celebrity and doing brilliant things. And he would drive a lot of political conversation, which at the time I was pretty green on and tried to steer well clear of. And that's when I realized that there was a need to bring together the silly, which had come from my time in youth radio, and the serious as well, because there are a lot of very interesting things going on in universities, particularly now. And that was a good learning curve for trying to bring the two together.
And as you've mentioned briefly, you had quite a mix of different themes for different shows. Did you have a favourite?
We had quite a few guests on in Get Topical, where I learned a lot about how students felt so passionately about different areas of life. We had members of the Sikh Society, and we had members of the Feminist Society as well, and various political strands too, as well as film club and drama. So there was a good mix, and everybody, you realize, has a different experience of university, different funny stories to tell. When the guy Toby, who was running that show, graduated, the remaining two of us, Karis and I, was a good friend. We weren't quite so adept at bringing in good guests, so Get Topical became Get Tropical, which was a far less serious show. Still incorporated elements of that, but we introduced in place of serious conversations about politics, a blind dating element as well. So we really did try to spin the wheel on everything and try and see what landed and have fun with it as well. And yeah, go to town on it too.
Your next choice is for me a prime example of some of the music that I know you really enjoy. Tell me about when Ben Webster and the single "Petal of a Rose."
I'm really excited about this one because it's probably the one that I heard most recently of the 10, even though it's probably the oldest track. And that's because I'm not particularly knowledgeable about jazz like many other people would be, a bit like whiskey or hard drinks like that. I never wanted to be obnoxious or come to anything too early or pretend I like things far above my station, really. At the right time, I wanted to embrace it. Something that I really enjoy when I'm reading is trying to match the tone of what I'm reading with music to accompany it, even if it's something like reading Lord of the Rings at Christmas and listening to the soundtrack. I really enjoy doing that. And something that I find with one of my favorite authors, Amores Towles, is that I've enjoyed listening to certain jazz artists, Chet Baker amongst a few others, Duke Ellington too, and also that you don't have a vocalist singing and getting in your ear and distracting you. My first experience of listening to jazz actually came from, I've said car crash a few times tonight, but my experience with GCSE music, where our teacher who inspired us to do it all left after just 3 weeks. We never understood why, we never knew what happened, and we were left with a man, lovely man, Mr. Mikolajczyk, but he couldn't actually play an instrument, and spent time asking us how to play C minor on the guitar or piano. And to say that was uninspiring was a bit of an understatement. However, in the flames and the burning mass of that bizarre, leaking, mold-infested porter cabin, although it was a good score and I enjoyed my time there, we had to just basically get on with it ourselves. He'd print the copies of the curriculum for GCSE music, and Miles Davis was, and his album Kind of Blue was something we had to look at. We had to look at Oasis as well, which was an introduction to Britpop, Jeff Buckley and West Side Story. And from all of those things, I found quite a great affection for them out of the chaos, found something to enjoy. We had various other bizarre teachers along the way, Temp Steppins as well, one man who just wanted to arm wrestlers all one by one, and if we beat him we could choose our song. Of course he was an adult, much stronger, we never got a chance to. It really was a great ball of fire, that music course, but out of it I heard a little bit of jazz, and so it laid the foundation for it. My dad's a big fan of jazz, and at the right time I've asked him to introduce certain artists to me. I love Milt Jackson on his vibraphone, and Art Blakey as well. Just a few, I don't know loads, but Ben Webster's somebody that I've heard recently. And what I love about jazz, and this could be completely wrong, but I suppose it's my own opinion on it, or wrong interpretation, is that in your normal guitar bands, you wouldn't take somebody else's song and add your own verse. People do, and they do remixes. I think that's the closest we get. But you wouldn't necessarily take a version of Coldplay's Fix You and add a different bass to it, just one element to it. But I like in jazz that people work together, play together. I know there are probably tiffs along the way, but they can add their own riff or harmonize or answer the question that maybe the piano asks. And Ben Webster here is doing a version of a track by Duke Ellington, which I read he'd written for the Queen, part of the Queen's suite. Apparently he was enamoured with the late Queen and had written this track for her. And Ben Webster takes it later and he decides to do it on his own instrument and sort of the call and response with Duke Ellington's original piano. I just don't think there's another kind of genre that can do that and do it so tastefully and beautifully. So I'm just learning as I go, and this song is the most recent one I heard just on a playlist as I was reading, and I just thought I absolutely love it. Yeah.
This is called
I can't actually remember.
It's called
Piece of a Rose.
You love it so much you can't remember. It's called this is what a big builder.
I know. I realised it as I was saying.
This is Ben Webster and the single petal.
Yeah, single petal of a rose. I didn't want to get it wrong. I'd rather have you said it all than say pieces of a rose, but to that extent, apologies all and jazz fans.
How did you get involved, and indeed why, Joe, with Hospital Radio Glamorgan?
I'd been into the hospital quite a few times for various physio appointments due to some very dodgy knees in lockdown, and I'd noticed the booth, or rather heard certain things being played, and I'd listened a few times. I'd listened quite a bit to Hospital Radio, where I'd grown up in Worcester as well. It was one of the places kind enough to give my average to poor band a chance as well. So I had quite a lot of affection for in Worcester Hospital anyway. It was very much something I'd like to jump back on board with after my time at university. Various things had stopped that, and I'd seen that there was quite a long waiting list through COVID. Decided to take my chance by sending in an email, and then heard from yourself. We get from time to time lovely messages from people that have been walking up and down the concourse, and that's something that people have said to me when they found out, or they laugh at my picture that sometimes springs up outside on the digital screen. Where they said just how at home they felt when they've heard the voices of the volunteers, or it's quite contagious, the joy that people feel when they're doing it, particularly if you're listening to someone like Lewis for 3 hours on a Wednesday. It is anything but contagious, if you pardon the pun for where we are, I suppose. I'd felt that. Other people had said the same. My wife had said the same. It seemed like a great group to be involved in. That's if they were going to take me, and was trained by the wonderful Grant Palmer, who now is on the show that takes place after mine on the Tuesday Right Here Right Now show. And he was a perfect example of what everybody is like. Very knowledgeable, very chilled about it, got a great love of radio, different artists, and very accommodating and willing to do what's necessary to help.
And was that training with Grant, was that a nice experience to be thrown into?
Yeah, Grant's think I'm quite a cool customer, then he is probably the coolest. I think he's he knows his stuff a lot, and Just a brilliant balance between promoting what's going on in the hospital as well. His first segue, I think, I saw him do between an artist who'd experienced a certain kind of reason for going into a hospital, an illness, and he was just able to chat about that, and it wasn't necessarily too on the nose, and it wasn't a way that might upset anyone. It was just a little nod to anybody in the hospital that might be feeling that way, and I just thought that was such a brilliant little bit of radio, and thought, yeah, best listen to this guy.
And I'm going to ask you a question now, which I ask all newbies on this program when I talk to them about why they got involved, and they all get tongue-tied, and none of them can answer the question.
Okay.
So I'm going to ask you now. Before we move on with the music, can you remind listeners what they have to do if they're interested in joining Hospital Radio Glamorgan?
Now, I sent an email to the one cited on the website, and I did get an automatic response because it comes through to the office email.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm right so far. And then you got in touch separately about that. And
it goes to a few people. It goes to me. So
you.
Basically, you're failing terribly.
Am I? Okay.
So, yes, you go to our website, radioglamorgan.com, click on Contact Us and join us. And the rest is more or less
pretty gravy.
What the man said. Tell me, Joe, about your next choice, the interestingly titled How Can You Swallow So Much Sleep? From Bombay Bicycle Club, possibly the best song title we've had in well over 100 editions.
Oh, I'm pleased to hear it. Although they take the credit, really, don't they? It's quite a mouthful, all said together, with band included. Bombay Bicycle Club summarised perfectly. That beautiful sweet spot in the 2010s. This is their follow-up album to I Had the Blues But I Shook 'Em. And then it feels like a continuation with a different kind of fix. Just I love that those two album titles work so well together. And it's upbeat, brilliant indie, but they're also just fab musicians. A lot of the indie that was coming out then, particularly with smaller, sometimes on the radio, sometimes channels dedicated to quite sparse indie bands that came, had maybe half a hit. There wasn't too much to them, not too much meat on the bones, but there were a lot the Maccabees have just reunited at Glastonbury as well, like Bombay Bicycle Club, that were just fantastic musicians, and live can get a little bit heavier and get a little bit more funky with it. This album came out, I was in college, and I think it does get a little bit of a bad rep. It was the era of the straw hat and jean shorts had just come in properly, and boat shoes, and people associate that indie with not having much meaning, being a bit surface level and twee, but it wasn't like that, and there were a lot of just very upbeat, nostalgic songs. Bombay Bicycle Club are brilliant. Perhaps I associate it with my youth a bit, and actually saw them do a reunion tour of their first album just before COVID hit in London in Shepherd's Bush, and a lot of people were sort of the same age demographic, had clearly been to the same experiences in school, had heard it at the same time, and it was quite a poignant moment, I suppose, the last time I was surrounded by a lot of people before lockdown. I love this track. I think the opening's brilliant. It's beautiful, dreamy, and it really kicks up a notch towards the end, and Bombay Bicycle Club will always have a special part in, I suppose, my youth.
Could you back me up? 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 Could you back me up?
So, Joe, Tuesday, October the 1st, 2024, you started your own show on Hospital Radio Glamorgan, Tea Time Tales, running 5 to 7 on a Tuesday evening.
Yep.
By the time this programme goes out for the first time, you would have been doing the show for over a year. So what can anyone expect to hear tuning in on a Tuesday night for the first time?
Tea Time Tales, I suppose, aside from the alliteration. The idea was born out of it being around about that time. So there's nothing too energetic or unsettling about the first hour, at least. We aim to pick it up, and we have a little bit more, I suppose, in the way of dance, electronic, something like that, as we segue into Grant's Right Here, Right Now show. But for the majority of it, there's a lot of music that I've found recently that I love. Golden oldies as well, as you might have been able to gather from the last few songs we've picked already. It's across the board, a wide mix of things. But a chance just to chat through a few recommendations. I love television and film, so we do a Tailor-vision, give you a recommendation if you're an inpatient here or looking for something to while away the hours on what is often a rainy evening in Cardiff. Children's Tales, a friend of mine, teacher, gets involved to recommend something for the children and family, and Doctor's Orders, he'll give us a tonic, a medical musing, as is the case here in Hospital Radio Glamorgan, something to think about maybe, and will resonate with people in Cardiff Heath Hospital and further afield, and a tonic as well for your ears, and a few tales to tell and chat, and occasionally guests as well, a few friends or different colleagues of old who have worked in a medical area of some sorts, with more to come as well, hopefully, over the next year.
I've tuned into your show normally when I'm making dinner. It's a cross between the people I discovered on another radio station called Jazz FM and somebody who should be on at 1 a.m. I don't mean that to be insulting, but it's that I finish work, I put you on, I want to go to sleep. But I mean that in a nice way. It's that laid-back style. Is that deliberate?
But I think a lot of what I do in work is quite frantic. A lot of what's gone on is we've moved into a house in the last couple of years and preparing now for baby, and the background of life is frantic, same with family, and I suppose for everybody can say the same really. I find, and I wasn't expecting to in that space, it all just coming out in a little bit of more of a slower coffee morning voice than I was ever expecting to discover. But I'd said off air that I'd always been used to being in the studio with somebody else, and finding that you're not bouncing off somebody, instead of getting more excited and higher at the end, maybe I'm going the other way around. But a lot of how I feel about music does make me feel quite calm and settled if we're hearing it and chatting about it, and hopefully people find it relaxing to listen to. I suppose we have to be prepared to be in the background as well if somebody wants to read or feel comforted as well. Something I found in lockdown, my affection for radio grew exponentially by just realizing how comforting a regular voice could be. And if I have to be that in the background, I don't want to add too many of those carry-on whistles that we heard in King Cruel's track earlier. Didn't shock anyone.
So Tuesday afternoons, 5 till 7,
yeah.
Followed by Grant, followed by Jason.
Yeah, the Tuesday trio.
Penultimate choice, Joe, from Fleet Flowers.
Fleet Foxes, yes, that
Why
is.
Have I written
that
Fleet
Flowers sounds equally nice.
Yeah,
Fleet Foxes. More indie.
Sorry, I don't know why I wrote that.
No. Fleet Foxes is a band I really liked in high school. It was probably the first of the kind that I'd listened to, a more folky American bluesy in that way. Once had Father John Misty on the drums before he went solo, won a little bit more of the spotlight for himself. Robin Pecknold as the lead man. The first album was 10 out of 10 for me, Fleet Foxes, self-entitled, and then this one was their follow-up album was Helplessness Blues, which I still enjoyed, not quite as much, but the track on this that I've picked of the same name, Helplessness Blues, was one that I love for its lyrics, for the imagery, and for the live performances as well. They've grown much stronger as a band live, in his voice too. I suppose at that age, and still to this day, I'm very fortunate. I've not suffered a great deal of heartbreak. I've been very fortunate in that, both family. There's always drama and problems for anyone, but I've had it maybe to a lesser extent than many will have had. Heartbreak, I've done well in that department. I think that my wife, who I met, was my first true love, and fortunate enough that she said yes to me. So some ways I feel a bit of an imposter if I think too much about lyrics in songs that I've not lived as an experience. But one of the things that I always feared as a child, I was quite a morose child, questioning my existence at 3 or 4 years old sometimes. I at really early age, I did wonder what the point of everything was. But something I used to fear, probably because of programs like The Original Office and things, were those stark white walls of a mundane office and an entry level job of photocopying and things, with a boss that you had to pretend to laugh at their jokes, and drab wallpaper, yes, and blinds. And this song, I suppose, was what I feared most at that time, having been fortunate in many other ways in life. And it is about being a cog in a machine, and how terrifying that is, and depressing it can be, and how we all would prefer to imagine running our own business in a cafe, or picking apples in an orchard and making cider and things to that extent, but actually finding great comfort in the everyday life and routine and sort of settling on maybe enjoying them both. I just think it's brilliant, and I think this performance live on Boston Harbor is one of, you can watch it all live on different streaming platforms, YouTube as well, and I think the ending and the mix as well, I would give my right arm to have been there watching this. Fleet Foxes with Helplessness Blues.
When did you take up the drums?
In year seven. Year seven I did, when I'd been doing a bit of piano before then, and you can't possibly learn two instruments at that time in your life because you've got so many other important things, haven't you? I realised, sadly, I could have done both, so lost all knowledge of piano, but took up the drums and loved that, yeah.
And you got a band?
Occasionally we get together and play just for fun, have a jam, but we were in a band in sixth form. Got to we were featured on one of the introducing shows on BBC Hereford and Worcester.
Right.
So not so terrible that you would never want to dig out the archives. Enough that after a couple of beers you go, Do you know what? We could have...
BBC Hereford and Worcester.
BBC Hereford and Worcester.
When you said introducing, I thought you were going to say the BBC introducing stage at Glastonbury.
No.
What a letdown.
No, yes.
Now here's a great singer for your final choice, Candy Stanton and Young Hearts Run Free.
Yes, this is, if ever you get asked, which seems to be the thing now, you each get asked, or you get asked for a track to play on somebody else's wedding day for the disco, this is the one I'll always go to. This unlocks a sense of joy and energy in me that I don't think anything else on earth can do, except for perhaps the last minute Champions League Arsenal winner. This is, which sadly I have to just go with this one every wedding I go to. I love it. I could listen to it any time of day and it would bring the same sense of just glee. I can't remember when I first heard it or why. I know the origin of the song is particularly poignant, and there's a lot more drama to it than just the upbeat nature of it. And the lyrics do lend themselves to that. You can look it up for yourselves, so I don't want to speak too much on it, but what it was born out of, a really difficult time for the singer and a really decent friend of hers who wrote this song with the intention of giving her perhaps a little bit of a new life, a lease of life. There's something quite emotional about it as well, particularly when people join in the chorus, as supposedly a lot of people were trying to help her, and it sort of feels like that was intentional in the final mix. It's one that came on as well on one of my favourite ever evenings out in Cardiff, which was the late Goody Who, which was a brilliant venue. I don't know whether you ever saw anyone live there. It's now, I think, student accommodation. It was a brilliant, brilliant place if you were in university between 2010 and 20. Sadly gone. But somebody put this on one of those nights, and surrounded by people that enjoyed a good dance to, I suppose, this sort of music as well. I think it's timeless, and I could listen to it every evening of my life.
You're enjoying the experience of your time with RG?
Yeah, absolutely loving it. Yeah, and learning a lot.
Can you explain for people on the outside what it is about the extraordinary team of volunteers, and if there is anything in particular that stood out for you that makes it such a special place to be?
I think it's probably quite good timing being asked that question, given we had a team get together or meeting, I suppose top to bottom, from the top, and I'm not trying to score any brownie points here, but being asked on the night what we love about it, what we can look to get better at collectively as a group and a station, what's put into it on the side by people that are clearly tech wizards, and the negotiating that has to be done with the hospital licensing fees, everything like that. There's great love for it. And having spoken to a lot more of the fellow presenters as well on that evening, realizing just how many years people have committed to it, that doesn't happen much anymore. I think even with hobbies that people quite like, we can be quite transitional and change and have a go at something else, particularly if it doesn't work or lead to anywhere, which seems to be the case as well for a lot of people. It needs to have a means to an end financially, whereas I think there is the charity element, there is the volunteer element, and that's the most important thing, because it's a show before the individual, and then collectively when you're offering advice and having a laugh and finding out what people do and taking bits and pieces of other shows and having a think about why people love that and what you could do like that, not stealing it but just taking inspiration. People are so willing to do that. There's no sense of keep to yourself, this is my bit, I don't want to help you. It's nothing but smiles and a real sense of community.
Thanks for coming in, Joe.
Thanks for having me.
You've been listening to Music Was My First Love on Hospital Radio Glamorgan, where volunteer Joe Lovell has been choosing 10 of his favourite songs. And a reminder that you can hear Joe on Hospital Radio Glamorgan Tuesday late afternoon from 5 p.m. I'm Andrew Wolfe, and join me again soon when another guest chooses 10 of their favourite tracks on another edition of Music Was My First Love.